News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're back all over the place here. Hey, second hour starting, and we do... You know what we do on the second hour?
We listen to my history moment.
That's exactly right.
Caught me off guard. I'm sitting there looking at some other things.
What are you doing to me, by anyway? Yeah, just read
shuffling
the darn
papers.
Thing. Anyway, history moment coming up here, and produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. Her topic today is about an El Paso mayor election gone wacky in 1889. 1889.
U.S. midterm elections have nothing on El Paso mayoral election of 1889. Adolf Krakauer wins El Paso mayoral race against C.R. Moorhead by 37 votes. Both sides claim fraud, arguing that Juarez citizens were naturalized just to vote in the election. Nevertheless, Krakauer and supporters barricade themselves inside City Hall with guns, food, and water until Sheriff James White ends the standoff by telling Krakauer he just can't do this. Days later, Krakauer wins the race by a mere 5 votes. But soon after the election, it is revealed that Krakauer is himself a German citizen and ineligible to vote or be mayor. The election results were thrown out and a new election is held with 2 new opponents. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
Are we back on the radio here? I got to talk
yes,
about stuff.
We can.
You got to talk about stuff. That's the History Alliance.
That's right. We don't want to forget about our great partners in El Paso history, education, and photographs. The El Paso History Alliance Facebook page is one of those that has lots of historic pictures, information, and preservation updates, and is managed by Max Grossman and Mark Stone. And then one of the oldest Facebook pages on El Paso and the region's history is Remember in El Paso When. There you'll find an extensive archive of pictures, history, and information. And this page is managed by Barbara Given-Bainey,
BGB,
who's the chief administrator, and she has a fantastic team helping her out.
Well, she could use some help, she said the other day. So if that's true, get on that page and take a look at it. Anyway, she's the chief administrator, Barbara Given-Bainey, otherwise known as BGB. But anyway, administrators are Margaret Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louie. Moderators are Ken Weiss and Craig Hayes. And they don't get paid for this. I mean, this is almost full-time work for this woman. And she
does a great job.
She's hooked up all day long on that site, doing neat stuff on there. All right, looking at history as we did, we do have Mario on the phone here, Dr. Mario T. Garcia to you, and the book that he wrote. You've written a lot of books, haven't you?
Yeah, it's over 20 books.
Wow.
More or less.
It's a bunch of books. The Making of a Mexican-American Mayor, Raymond L. Tejas of El Paso, and the Origins of Latino Political Power. And what I might do here to start up this hour, we have a guy on the phone here. It was actually his idea. He contacted me and said, why don't you do this story in this book? And I said, where's the book? So I looked it up, and his name is Raul. Raul, got you on the radio. Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Great show. I had the pleasure of seeing Dr. Garcia lecture at UTEP. That's where I became aware of him, and he just gave a great lecture, very impressive presentation, and I'm gratified that, it's a hit on your show today. I have a couple of questions. Professor, do you know what the percentage of Mexican-Americans was at the time of that election?
In the city?
In El Paso, sir.
I think the percentage was around 50%, maybe a little bit lower. It's hard to really have a final determination, but it's almost half of the city at the time of the 57 election was Mexican-American.
Okay. Do you have any idea why we have had so few Mexican-American mayors since then?
Well, that's a very good question. We've had, two or three after 1957, but much later. I think a lot of it has to do, it's hard, organization, you need funding, It's something, you know, I'm not an expert on contemporary politics in El Paso right now, so I couldn't really tell you the reasons. But it has been more difficult, and it's hard to explain with the fact that El Paso is, what, now 80-90% Mexican-American.
Our current mayor is Mexican-American.
Yeah, our city councils and county commissioners.
Yeah, and for city council, of course, Mexican-Americans have had a lot of success, especially after the 57 election. After the 57 election, more Mexican-Americans began to be elected, not necessarily as mayor, but on the city council, county commission. Richard Davis was elected in the 60s as one of the county commissioners on Board of Education.
State reps, yeah.
But the mayorship is the one that has been a little bit more elusive over the years since 1957.
Well, we've had Ray Salazar, we had
Ray Caballero.
Ray Caballero, thank you.
And you count Susie Azar.
And then
Oscar Leeser.
You're catching up.
Joe Arty was partial Mexican-American.
What's that?
Joe Arty.
Oh, yeah, okay, Joe Arty. That's right. I forgot.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, does this matter anymore, guys? I mean, really.
It's worth about those kingmakers. They're still around, just a different generation.
Okay, so do you think this matters anymore, how what percentage of Mexican-Americans do what? I mean, are we still worried about that?
Well, it's just an interesting question as to why there have been so few, relatively few, since Tejas in a city that's predominantly Mexican-American.
Yeah.
So if something's going on. There's the money. You know, a lot of it has to do with money, and it's unfortunate that we have enough Brown brothers that are willing to sell out to those interests, and they get what they want, whether it be a ballpark. Or
no names. I don't want to hear about this. Raul, no names. I don't
want
to hear about this. No names, Raul. I don't want to hear about this. This is crazy. Save it for Andrew's show, right?
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Raul, for your calling in.
You take care.
Thanks, Raul.
And Raul, thank you very much.
Oh, and Raul, I liked your picture you posted of you with that's Raymond Tejas' hand on your head, correct?
Where is that? Where do you see that? Oh, he's off already.
Oh, he's off. Okay.
Where do you see that?
Well, it was sent to me, and for some reason, I don't know why it didn't go on to the regular feed page, but I reposted it onto the Facebook page.
Okay, we'll take a look at that. All right, let's talk about some of this history we have here. That was an interesting call because it was Raul who suggested we do this.
Yeah, he had
this topic today.
Yeah.
Mario Garcia, what about the slate of people that was elected? I think we have a picture of this. The slate of people that was elected at the same time as Mayor Tejas in 1957. That's a crowd of Anglo guys, right?
Yeah, as I mentioned, the tradition in those times was that someone who ran for mayor had to then organize a ticket of aldermen or people running for the city council. So Tejas organized what he called the people's ticket. But he had a real difficult time getting Anglos to run with him. Some, you know, just didn't want to, or the word was out, do not run on Raymond Tejas' ticket. But he was finally able to get some people to run, most notably Ralph Seitzinger, who was a very prominent businessman in the Lower Valley. And he, perhaps even more importantly, was Ted Bender, one of your own, mm-hmm. KTSM.
Oh, yeah.
Ted Bender was a friendly weatherman in the 1950s and into the 60s on KTSM. And so getting Bender was a real coup because,
oh, yes.
In a way, every time that Ted did the weather, it was kind of an informal
yes.
Ad for the Tejas ticket.
Absolutely. And also, so, Crago. It was Ernie Crago, right?
Ernie Crago also was on it. Jack White. So those were the ones who he... But these are not... other than Seitzinger, who was a prominent businessman, but not in El Paso, well, in the Lower Valley, he wasn't able to get more prominent other Anglo-Americans to run with him. As I said, the word was out, don't run on that ticket, on that Tejas ticket.
Well, the thing about Seitzinger, he was from the Valley... But the politics there was ahead of the 57 election. Mayor Rogers at the time, I believe it was, annexed the entire Lower Valley, much to the chagrin of the people who lived in the entire Lower Valley. They didn't like it, and so Seitzinger.
They didn't like it at all.
No,
as a matter of fact, was one of the reasons that convinced Tejas to run because he felt that the voters in the Lower Valley, both Mexican American and Anglo Americans, were quite upset over the way that the Valley had been annexed without consultation with the
right.
people in the Lower
Valley. Didn't even ask
them.
There's a block of voters there that I think will vote for me and against the establishment, Rogers, the mayor.
That annexation went down all the way to Socorro, right?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, parts of Socorro, but not they stopped somewhere down in there. But the point was that they weren't asked, consulted, or anything. Isleta all of a sudden became part of El Paso, and I don't think the people in Isleta liked that. So this is what Seitzinger capitalized on. Because when he came part of the...
Yeah. In that election, a strong majority of the voters, in fact, voted for Tejas and the people's ticket.
Yes.
So that was... Tejas was astute enough to know that annexation would turn to his political favor.
It's weird. I ended up working for Seitzinger back when he turned on a water softening company. Crago, I knew because his son was the major pitcher on a baseball team I was on in Little League, and Ted Bender, everybody knew Ted Bender, even though he didn't know you. Yeah, that's my friend Ted. So, yeah, that was an interesting, cool group. White, I didn't know the guy White. But the rest of them, what a group of people. So that was a 1957 ticket, and those guys stuck around for two more years, did they not, in one in 59?
Yeah, they. Well, I think only Jack White was not on the ticket.
He replaced
in 59. The others did. And, of course, Seitzinger later... After Tejas accepted President Kennedy's invitation to become ambassador to Costa Rica, then Seitzinger ran for mayor, and he was elected.
Right. And that whole deal right there is why Tejas left town. And let's talk about that, because a lot of people were kind of like, hey, Tejas, don't go. We need you here. And all of a sudden, he's international. Yeah. And boom, he's on the
ambassador of Costa Rica.
Costa Rica. Yes. Kennedy appointed him. And see, he had campaigned for Kennedy when Kennedy came through El Paso. Tejas was on his bandwagon big time, and that was a big deal back then, wasn't it?
He campaigned also in California and other parts of Texas for Kennedy. That was a big decision and a hard decision for Raymond Tejas. I mean, he won in 57 with a lot of opposition from the northern part of the city, even though. In my study, I found that he won 30% of the northern precincts. That was very important for him, and he knew he had to cut into the northern precincts, and he was able to do that, combined with he won 90% of the south side, and as I mentioned, and he won about 60% in the lower valley. So that put together, that gave him the election. But in 59, when he ran, he had proved to be such a... everyone felt, at least... some on the north side felt that he was going to fail, that he wasn't going to be able to be a good administrator, and he disproved all of that. And he did a lot of good for all parts of the city, so that in 59 there was no opposition.
And he was a county.
No opposition. No one ran against him, and the kingmakers seemed to have felt, okay, he's not a real threat to us. He's not going to try to, you know, somehow erode our influence and so forth. So it was an accommodation, if you will, between Tejas and the kingmakers. And at the same time, Tejas did a lot for the south side and for other parts of the city. So in 59, there was no opposition. And he was going to run again in 61, probably with no opposition. But then President Kennedy wanted to appoint him as ambassador to Costa Rica. And that was a very hard decision for him to make. Finally, he decided, and I think he decided... because he felt, here I had broken a barrier in being the first Mexican-American elected as mayor of El Paso, and here's an opportunity to break still another barrier. I will be first Mexican-American, Hispanic, Latino to be a U.S. ambassador.
Right.
And he felt that he had to do it in order to open up the opportunity for still other Hispanics to become ambassadors in the future. And so, but it was a very difficult decision. A lot of people in El Paso, other supporters, said, don't go, Raymond. We need you here. And some people actually said, look, Costa Rica, where the hell is Costa Rica? And people said, if it was Mexico, if you were going to be appointed ambassador to Mexico, that's a different situation.
Yeah.
But again, Tejas felt he could not... turned down President Kennedy, and he and Kennedy had a very strong relationship, very loyal relationship.
Oh yeah,
and it seemed to be that after two or three years in Costa Rica, that Kennedy was leaning towards naming him ambassador to Mexico, but then of course the tragedy of the Kennedy assassination, and Lyndon Johnson did not, appoint Tejas to be ambassador to Mexico. So, yeah, but there was a lot of people who felt that, that he should stay. They said, look, after the 60 census, they're going to redistrict, and the more conservative counties to the east of El Paso will no longer be part of our district. You can run for Congress and be elected and so forth. So, yeah, it was a mixed feeling about whether he should accept the invitation to become ambassador.
He was in anguish over that. Melissa, you got
to one thing is, going back to the ambassadorship in Mexico, I think that seems to be kind of a theme throughout the book of that section, is that he was very disappointed that he did not get the opportunity to be that ambassador. Am I correct?
Yes. I mean, of course he would have loved to become ambassador to Mexico, but, you know, he did a great job in Costa Rica as well, you know, and the people in Costa Rica loved him. President Kennedy visited there, and Tejas had made a lot of connections with the students and so forth, and these were very tense times in Latin America. In 1959, you had the Cuban Revolution, and so there was a lot of tension and between, you know, a lot of Latin American countries and the U.S., but when Kennedy came to visit, Tejas said, no, come and visit, the students are great, and so forth, and he did, and it was like Kennedy received a tremendous reception at the university there.
Oh, yeah.
So, as I said, they had a very good relationship, and I think Kennedy was leaning to in naming an ambassador to Mexico. Johnson was a different situation. I think Johnson had hoped that Tejas would support him when Johnson did run for the presidency in 1960, or at least he hoped that he would be nominated. And I think, as some people told me, that Johnson never forgave Tejas for not supporting him rather than supporting Kennedy. And so he wasn't going to, in turn, do any particular favors for Tejas when LBJ became president.
But Tejas did not, he was not done with Washington. We know that. I've read the rest of your book. Well, let's get
LBJ could appoint him to a new U.S. border commission in Mexico, keeping his rank as ambassador.
Mario, we got to get to that. Mario, we got to take a break. We got to get to that after the break here, because there's a lot to cover on this, man. Like I say, there's a movie. I smell a movie here. This ought to be working good. All right, taking a break here. Call us if you think you need to.
Call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
The border is in crisis. After President Trump secured the border with Mexico, everyone's worried about the growing problem. And why is the Biden administration spending $86 million on hotel rooms for captured migrants? Now, Grant Stinchfield investigates the border crisis and finds the real truth about Biden's executive orders and dangerous policies. So watch Stinchfield on Newsmax TV tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern as he reveals the dangers to our economy and security. Newsmax TV is one of America's leading cable news channels. It's on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your cable operator. Tell them you want Newsmax or you'll switch to a new service. Remember, you can get Newsmax free on Roku, YouTube, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, and smart TVs like Samsung, Sony, or LG. It's even free on your smartphone. Just download the free Newsmax app and start watching anytime. Find out about the real border crisis on Grant Stinchfield tonight on Newsmax TV. It's real news for real people.
The journey on the path to spiritual enlightenment is personal. In the Astray podcast, it can also be deadly. Join filmmaker Caroline Slaughter on the podcast as she uncovers the disappearances and deaths that have befallen Westerners who have taken a spiritual pilgrimage to India.
Don't go to India, because this is a Venus flytrap for your vulnerability.
Listen to Astray on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that over 90% of male enhancement pills are virtually the same thing that's repackaged, redone over and over again? Why settle for the same old product when you can get something completely different? Something that takes male enhancement into the 21st century. Something that really works. Men, you need to try Noxitril, the all-natural male enhancement formula that will unlock your performance in the bedroom to a level you could only dream of. Try to imagine Viagra on steroids. Noxitril is so powerful, that's why it took years for it to finally become available to the public without a prescription. So call now and take advantage of our special Noxitril free bottle offer today. Oh yeah, we recommend that you use the Noxitril dose as directed. Think of your partner. We certainly don't want you to overperform in the bedroom.
Call now and find out how to get a free bottle of Noxitril while supplies last. Call 1-800-993-2190. Free bottles for a limited time. So call now, 800-993-2190, 800-993-2190.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're talking about mayors, and we've got the author of the book online. We've got two callers on hold. And I got to tell you about some stuff here. Our guest next week is going to be a recap of early El Paso history. Our guest next week is historian Bernie Sargent. And we're going to go and see how far we get. The plan, Melissa, is to start at Oñate and go to 1930. I bet we never
That'll be a quick trip.
We'll never get close to it. We'll give it a shot. That's April 10th next week. That's our topic. April 17th, Al Borrego's in. He's our guest to describe a new nonprofit that he has created called the Cultural Heritage Society of the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro. And from his San Elizario, Texas location on that Camino Real, he looks both north and south to explain this very first King's Highway in North America. April 24th. Here's a bizarre topic, but we're going to do it. The ham radio history in El Paso. These guys have been around forever and doing all kinds of emergency work and having fun in the meantime.
And they're not hamming it up.
Well, exactly. and I think it has something to do with that. But anyway, our second hour that day, Gold Prospectors of El Paso. And I love it. These guys go to a meeting and want to say, what did you find? Where did you find it? I'm not going to tell you what I found. Now, we'll see what they do. Anyway, they'll be in May, and that's on April 24th. May the 1st, we got Mark Howe, and he is back from the International Boundary Water Commission. Somebody found a whole bunch of archives in their grandfather's attic. The guy passed away. The grandkid went in there. And it turns out to be an early commissioner from the El Paso Boundary Water Commission. That's going to be bizarre to hear that one.
It'd be interesting.
So what do you got?
Okay. I just want to bring up some people we've got listening to. It's always so fun to have our local listeners like Harry Kirk, who's calling all the way from 79936.
Oh, yeah.
Is on the east side of town. But we also have a Maravilla Salvaje. And she's in Milwaukee. We've got Angie Salazar, who's up there on the mountain in Colorado.
Yeah, we asked for this.
Yes, yes. It was Jose in San Antonio. So I just want to give a shout out to those people. Thank you for listening long distance.
Indeed.
This is great. And they're all natives of El Paso, so that's cool.
This is cool. And we got Mario. Dr. Mario, you still with us?
Yes.
I sure hope so, because we got some callers want to talk to you. Here's a guy named Tom. Right. Tom, we got you on the radio with the author. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I just tuned in, and I was listening to the conversation about how the mayors, I guess, over recent years, meaning let's say the last 30, 40 years, have, I guess, become more of Hispanic heritage. And, I mean, that's, I guess, pretty natural with regard to our community and the population. But isn't it more significant what the political ideology is of the people that we've put in office? I mean, I guess the big question is, in the last 40 years since this change has happened with our political leaders, has our city moved forward or become more competitive compared to other cities like San Antonio and Phoenix?
That's a relative question. Mario, what do you think?
Well, again, you know, it's hard for me long distance. I mean, I visit El Paso when I have a new book and so forth, but I haven't kept up with all the politics. I think part of the problem, I mean, as we all know, El Paso geographically has been so isolated from the rest of Texas, you know, that a lot of people don't pay much attention to. It's always been difficult to get more resources from the state legislature and so forth, and that may still be a part of the situation.
Politics, so, Tom, is politics, you know?
It's hard to know.
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah, am I still?
Yeah.
Can I get another comment in?
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I've been in El Paso since 1986, raised a family here, went to UTEP. And, you know, El Paso is a huge part of me and my family's life. But I've really seen, it seems like we've been, for lack of a better term, sold out quite a bit with our leadership. And I would agree with you that we do have a challenge in the fact that we are so isolated. However, I think there have been so many opportunities that we have missed, and we're in a great state in terms of how well our state runs versus, let's say, Illinois or New York or California. But we keep gravitating towards that type of decision-making.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to stop you right there. Because, frankly, this is the History Radio Show. We don't get into politics on purpose. We save that for the Monday through Friday crowd at 4 p.m. on Talk El Paso. We're not going to get into the politics of El Paso currently. We'll talk about the old people and what they did. You're getting too close to the edge for us to be comfortable. So I'm going to drop you off here, but I do appreciate you ringing in there. And we also have another caller on the phone here. This would be Emma. Emma, got you on the radio. Go ahead.
Good morning. I love your program.
Thank you.
I'm an adamant, you know, listening to your program. And I want to thank Mario Garcia. I happen to be a neighborhood leader here in El Paso, and I've always listened to your program. I met Mr. Tejas when I was very young. My dad helped me to, you know, get him also started by, you know, helping him with the campaign and everything. I would like to say this, that I'd love to have a monument, you know, made for him somewhere in South El Paso, or at least a head bus in UTEP. That's all I can say. So our young people, our young leaders know what it is to be an Hispanic leader. Thank you very much.
Emma, thank you very much for calling.
Great
appreciate
comment.
That.
Yeah.
There's an idea.
Yeah,
have a statue.
There is the vocational school there in downtown El Paso that is named after Raymond Tejas. Beyond that, I don't know of anything else that bears his name.
Well, she wants a statue, so, hey, I'll vote for that.
Well, a historic marker also be one that would be easy to accomplish.
A marker somewhere. Good. Yeah, okay. We've got a lot of historical commission.
Yeah.
A lot of potential there. All right, taking a break here on the El Paso History Radio Show. We do appreciate you looking at us on Facebook. And there we are. Oh, you know, we're about a minute behind on this thing, so be very careful trying to make
back there,
sense
yeah.
out of that. But we got a lot of people out there across the planet now listening to us on the Facebook pages as well. Taking a break here, come back in a minute, and we can throw that phone. You have another announcement about people?
No, I pretty much covered it, but I think everybody's outside or listening on there, because I know people are listening to us because I can see it on there, but they're not making comments.
Well, so the other thing is we have people that come in and listen to the Facebook page after the fact.
Yeah.
Like tonight, tomorrow. We had like almost 2,000 people listen to last week's show since that last week's show.
Yeah,
so
it's
it works
crazy.
Out.
Yeah. And also, they're like, I am. You do chores, you have the radio going. So,
there you go. Give them, put the phone number out there one more time.
Yeah, give us a call. We've had some great comments and input so far. 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-833-0112. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help now at 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
PeopleGuru.com is the number one HCM software for mid-market growing organizations. PeopleGuru.com is all-in-one human capital management software with HR, payroll, benefits, time, talent, and so much more. With PeopleGuru.com, HR leaders can ditch manual tasks and patch together systems and can focus on people and business growth. That's why HR managers love PeopleGuru.com. Did we mention how much love you'll get as a PeopleGuru.com customer with passionate and dedicated support gurus, or that PeopleGuru.com is the most affordable HCM software? PeopleGuru.com is made for organizations with 100 or more employees. Visit PeopleGuru.com now and schedule your free demo. And for a limited time, you can get started with PeopleGuru.com with 3 months free software. Use promo code radio at PeopleGuru.com for 3 months free. This is a limited time offer. Use promo code radio at PeopleGuru.com for 3 months free.
There are new forms of the coronavirus. Just what we needed, right?
Yeah. So we wondered, are we doing enough to protect ourselves and our son?
Turns out we are. Because things like well-fitted masks, 6 feet of space, avoiding crowds,
all of that still works. And getting vaccinated, you know, when it's our turn.
COVID may not be letting up,
but neither are we.
We can do this. Learn more at cdc.gov/coronavirus. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, it's me. Just wanted to reach out after yesterday's video call. You mentioned your friends going through a hard time right now. I wanted to recommend an app you should download. It's the How We Reach coaching tool. It's got tips on, you know, how to reach out to friends or family members who are struggling. So it's great that you're there for your friend. I really think this tool will help you give them the support they need. So let me know if you want to talk.
Download the tool on reach.gov today.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It is now time to tell you what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
Expert advice for navigating a tax season like no other.
Why some contractors say they need help as EPISD schools construction drags on.
The founder of Alamo Drafthouse Cinema reflects on a brutal year for movie theaters and how they are fighting back as the outlook brightens.
El Paso Business Journal, El Paso Inc. is available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, 10:35, host Saul Sines talks about the future of the local judicial system 1 year into the pandemic. Also, many have been asking, what about the Patrick Cruz case? Crucius. I don't want to say his name anymore. I don't. No, we're done. The man accused of committing the August 3rd massacre. What about that dude?
Join host Saul Sines, ABC 7 Extra, Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. only on ABC 7 Extra, 7 ABC 7, where the news comes first.
I think the news always comes first over there.
Yes, and it is extra.
Indeed. We got this book going on here at the making of a Mexican-American mayor. Mario T. Garcia wrote this thing. Mario, you're still on the phone here with us, aren't you?
I certainly am.
Okay, what did we not cover? Because we just sort of got Tejas up to being an ambassador. He makes a huge personal decision to leave El Paso when he's at his peak of popularity. I mean, he could have been elected two more terms, but the president of the United States, John Kennedy, rings him up and says, I really need you to come be my ambassador to Costa Rica. And, of course, Tejas was fluent Spanish, and you're going to be an ambassador to someplace like Costa Rica. You need that. What else happened there that you can tell us?
Well, you're right. I mean, the fact that he was bilingual, could speak Spanish, I mean, that's one of the reasons why he was so successful in Costa Rica. He really went out and met the people. You know, he just didn't just stay in the embassy. He would go out to small towns, to villages. He met the people and got to know them. He met the students. So he was able to help a great deal in getting at that time, Kennedy had developed what was called the Alliance for Progress, and these were developmental programs for Latin America in dealing with issues of poverty and health and so forth. And he was able to get a good deal of those programs in Costa Rica. He was able to facilitate the Peace Corps that had also just been established under Kennedy to come into Costa Rica as well and to help with a number of various projects, especially in the rural areas. So when he left Costa Rica after a few years, I think 5-6 years of being ambassador, I mean, there was a tremendous turnout of people in basically thanking him for the work that he had done there. But after several years, you know, people, ambassadors are changed around. And so after Johnson came into office, he wanted Tejas to be the ambassador to this new U.S.-Mexico Border Commission. So he did that under LBJ. I wanted to go back, if I may, just to say a little bit. Tejas, of course, was in many ways the perfect candidate for in 1957. But there were so many other people who supported him and got the vote out. We're talking here about the veterans, a lot of world veterans, that the Tejanos did a lot of yeoman work in organizing precincts, getting the vote out. The LULAC organizations, especially the women in the LULAC, they went out there and they raised money again for poll taxes, got people registered to pay their poll taxes. And so a lot of people were behind the Tejas campaign in 57. He could not have been elected without this tremendous flourishing of enthusiasm behind his candidacy. And we mentioned Richard Tejas someone referred to Richard Tejas as the Mexican LBJ master politician. He, without computers, if you can imagine, 57, they organized every single precinct on the South Side. And they made sure that every voter went out to vote. They provided rides. They provided babysitting for mothers who couldn't leave unless they had someone to stay at home. It was a masterful political organization, and it cut against the stereotype of the fact that somehow that the lazy Mexican, the apolitical Mexican, that somehow Mexican-Americans didn't participate in politics, they didn't vote. That 57 election completely demolished that racist stereotype.
Oh, it did. Now, I tell you what, take a break there for you. We're not going to take a break yet, but you take a break and get some more tequila and have clear your throat out.
No,
but
he's having wine. He's up by Santa Barbara.
Oh, he's a California guy. We just had a picture of his brother, Richard, up there. And Richard, I don't know why he didn't go on and become the mayor or try to run. Was he just, wasn't his deal?
Well, you know, Richard, as I said, was a kind of a political brawler type and so forth.
Oh.
And I think he would have faced a lot of more reaction, especially on the north side of the city.
Okay, I got it.
I don't think that Richard could have been elected mayor. Now, later on, he won in district election to be a county commissioner.
Got it, okay.
So he was, and also district election in terms of being on the Board of Education for a number of years.
Well, let's talk about...
But he was not like his brother who, even before he became a diplomat, was in fact very diplomatic in the way that he presented himself in that 57 campaign. And it wasn't that he was putting something on. He said, I want to be mayor for all the people, not just for Hispanics, not just for Mexicans, for everyone.
I think he meant that. He seemed to mean
that.
Well, let's dial up a little bit. We're going to take another break here shortly. Well, let's dial up into the future slightly. And so the ambassadorship is over, and Raymond Tejas gets appointed to some commissions. He finally decides to come back to El Paso, and he thinks he's going to get back into the politics. What happened?
Well, I think when he came back in the early 80s, I think pretty much he didn't feel that he had much of a political future. And when he came back, a lot of people still were saying, you know, Raymond, why don't you run for mayor again and so forth. And
wait a minute.
I think he felt that his time had been there.
Wait a minute. Time out.
Heard
Mario, time out. Mario, time out.
1970 for the congressional seat.
That's
here.
It. That's what I wanted to talk about. The 1970
and
election.
And was defeated. That affected him a lot.
That's what I wanted to talk about. Mario, hold on for a second. He ran for Congress against Richard White, and Richard White had already been in a couple of terms, and Richard White trounced him 2-1.
He did. Richard White had made a lot of inroads among the Mexican-Americans.
Oh, yeah.
And Raymond, you know, he had been away most of that for several number of years, and, you know, that old magic wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Magic that led to the 57 campaign was no longer there. Mexican Americans had really wanted that mayorship. I call that the politics of status, that they wanted to be recognized politically as equal with Anglo Americans, and they felt they achieved that in 57. And then others, as we mentioned, were elected to the city council and other offices, state representatives. And so that hunger for political representation that was there in 57 was not as intense because breakthroughs had already been made.
Right.
And some people, you know, kind of lost touch with Tejas, the younger generation, the Chicanos of the younger generation. For Tejas said, you know, well, what have you done for us recently?
Oh, yeah.
That magic just wasn't there, and the organization wasn't there.
All right, we're going to take a break here, but one thing I want to mention to you, I have a feeling that the Kingmakers now include some serious Mexican Americans in El Paso. Oh, yeah. There's some people like the guy that owns all the McDonald's in town. He says something, people listen very carefully. And so there's guys like that around now. And by the way, the other guy who's in charge of half my life is Sergio Lewis. Whatever Sergio says, I want to go and do.
That's right.
He is by the airport or whatever. Anyway, taking a break, come back in a minute. We'll wrap this up. And it's an interesting thing. You got more comments to talk about real quick?
We have a no, I don't. I take it back. I have my note.
There's people all over Facebook putting notices here. Appreciate that.
They're really
that.
Enjoying the show.
All right, we'll take a break, come back in a minute with Mario Garcia and talk about Raymond Tejas. One last segment.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home Team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
We've all been wronged by bad breakfast. That's why Wendy's is bringing you oven-cooked bacon and fresh cracked eggs on breakfast sandwiches like the Breakfast Baconator. They've got tasty honey butter and fried chicken on the honey butter chicken biscuit, too. Get a better breakfast today, only at participating Wendy's.
Is your bathroom looking old and worn out? Want to update it, but you don't know where to start? Then let BCI Bath & Shower show you how to turn that old bath into an aisle of beauty and functionality. Our residential bathroom solutions provide the best value on the market, and our customer service is second to none. Our cost-effective BCI Bath & Shower family of products has what you need.
Remodeling our bathroom was a big decision for us.
They didn't make a mess out of our house at all. And at the end of the day, we had a beautiful new bathroom. And it was a great experience the whole way through.
We have the best monthly payment programs in the industry, with payments as low as $68 per month or no interest, no payments for 18 months. That's right. Get the bathroom of your dreams now and pay for it in 2021. Call 1-800-716-9085 for a free, no-obligation price quote. That's 1-800-716-9085. When you want quality bathroom products at a great price, it's got to be BCI Bath & Shower. That's 1-800-716-9085.
It's about to get real funny on iHeartRadio.
Comedy Slam Week is here, and we have tons of podcasts that'll give you your daily dose of laughter. They say it's the best medicine. Check out Fake Doctors, Real Friends with the two original stars of Scrubs, Roy's Job Fair with The Daily Show's Roy Wood Jr., and the iHeartRadio Award winner for Best Comedy Podcast, The Read. Everyone needs a good laugh, so grab your headphones and get distracted with Comedy Slam Week, only on iHeartRadio. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts, all in one app.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, you ready for this? Visit KasnerForever.org.
Ooh.
And why? Because you want to help the effort to get Kasner Range declared a national monument. So they're all excited about that. Go to that website there and sign a letter of support. And it's consider donating to the Fund for Kasner Range. You got the crowd there for Terra Land Alliance doing this, the Franklin Mountains Wilderness Coalition, El Paso Community Foundation. They want their 7,081-acre range turned into a national monument. So there you go. Give it a shot. That's KasnerForever.org. What do you got?
Well, the 43rd annual Northeaster Parade is virtual this year and is being broadcast today. The theme this year is Back to the Future, and all parade entries are pre-recorded their appearances for this special parade. And Six Guns and Shady Ladies is back and will be featured in the parade, and you won't want to miss their shenanigans this year. Shenanigans, you like that? That's where we're at in our point. But we took Grand Marshal Award in the parade because they showed it at 10:30 to 11:30.
Hey, drum roll.
And then you can see it again on 4:30 p.m. today on KFOX 14. Or you can go to the Northeaster Parade Facebook page, and you can see it there and watch it anytime.
Are they going to get the same award each time?
I don't know.
Oh, you can check that out.
Yeah, anyway. but we just ticked people off of there. And it was fun doing it. We did a video. That was something new for us.
Mario Garcia, you may not realize this, but Melissa Sargent sitting here is part of the reenactor group Six Guns and Shady Ladies. And that's what she was talking about. She was there in a parade. And the parade's going on right now virtually. They taped it 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. But we got our fingers stuck in history all over the place.
All over the place.
But the thing about we have fun here, and we just had an ABC 7 crew roll through here, so we're gonna have even more fun on their TV station this week. It looks like we did an interview with them just now. Can you imagine us? We're doing TV on radio to do Facebook, and then another TV guy.
It's repetitive.
Another TV guy shows up. All right, Mario, let's talk about the book real quick. The book is available, you said, at Amazon.
And it's published by the University of Arizona Press, so you can also contact the University of Arizona Press. Go to their website. You can order the book through them. But Amazon probably would be easier for most listeners.
The Making of a Mexican-American Mayor, Raymond L. Tejas of El Paso, and the Origins of Latino Political Power by Mario T. Garcia.
I'll put it on our Facebook page,
check that
too.
Out. Oh, yeah, here you go.
Okay, there we go.
We're still on TV, right? We're still doing our little TV thing here.
All right,
in the meantime, we need to wrap this up, but what happened to Tejas' career after he lost to Richard White? He then got into business with Maury Kemp or something.
Well, no, in the early 80s when he came back, he took a vice presidential position with a firm called First Financial Bank and Investments. That later in the 80s, there was a lot of misuse of funds and so forth, and there was indictments and so forth. Tejas was kind of implicated in that, but he was never part of any of the financial problems or that were involved, and so he was never in any way really indicted at all. So, you know, as he got older and, you know, he was retired, and eventually he and his health and his wife's health began to be somewhat affected. They retired further to Los Angeles to be with one of their daughters, Dr. Cynthia Tejas, who teaches at UCLA. So that's where they went, and that's where Mrs. Tejas died before Ambassador Tejas. And then, of course, Ambassador Tejas died in 2013. He was 97 years old, but both of them are buried at Evergreen Cemetery in El Paso. And as Rosa Guerrero mentioned, his funeral was at St. Ignatius Church, which was the church that his father had built.
That's right.
I want to point out that in one of the importance of the 57 election was that it was the first time that a Mexican-American had been elected to any significant southwestern or U.S. city in the United States. That had never been done before. Later, when breakthroughs occurred, like in San Antonio with Henry Cisneros and Federico Peña in Denver with elected mayor, and then later Villaraigosa in Los Angeles, a lot of the media began to say, these are big breakthroughs. That did not impress people in El Paso who remembered the 57 election.
That's true.
Hey, we did it in 57 against even greater odds.
Well,
and so that raises the importance of the 57 election.
That's
why I say, in some ways, it's tied to the origins of contemporary Latino political power, because from 57, you begin to see the growing increase of what we can call Latino political power in the United States, which is a reality today.
Well, you mentioned that it was the contemporary rise to power for the Mexican Americans. I just want to point out, in the previous century to that, 1890s, there was a Mexican-American mayor in El Paso elected, but people miss it quite often because the guy's name was McGoffin. He was born in Chihuahua. He grew up speaking Spanish. His mother was a Mexican. All those things define him as a Mexican-American, but his name was McGoffin. Yeah. So that Irish name threw people off when they went and looked at the and he was not elected in the 20th century. The only guy elected, the first guy elected Mexican-American is Tejas. So your book needs to just maybe adjust slightly to think that way, but not really, because McGoffin, back in his day, he was one of the original kingpin makers.
He was. Didn't have the impact that the 57 election
would have. 57 was huge, and Tejas is to be commended and his whole family for what that man pulled off. And just a quick footnote, that Ramon's transfer that his father started, that company, as we mentioned, that still exists now under a grandchild, you said?
Yes, under Rudy Tejas, yes.
Oh, that's amazing. All right, this has been an interesting discussion. What would you like to add? Because we've got about a minute left here. What are your last thoughts on this? And again, the book is available at Amazon, and the book, the name of the book, Melissa, is?
Is The Making of a Mexican-American Mayor, Raymond L. Tejas of El Paso and the Origins of Latino Political Power.
By Mario Garcia.
Mario Garcia, I forgot, the most important person.
Mario, what are your last minutes worth of thoughts here?
Well, we've covered a lot of ground, but again, I think the importance of that 57 election, the importance of Raymond Tejas, his role in the history of American politics and the history of Mexican-American and Hispanic politics has to be better known. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book, so I hope people will begin to talk more about his role. And also, I think it says something about El Paso, that El Paso has had a significant impact on American politics, and I think the election of Raymond Tejas and becoming ambassador is part of that contribution,
and
that needs to be noted as well.
And we need the movie. I want you to write a screenplay. Can you do that?
Well, I don't know. But I want to thank Jackson, you, and Melissa for inviting me on the program.
Sure, no problem.
A lot of fun.
It's enjoyable.
Listening to some of the people who called in, including my old coach, Julius Longberg.
Oh, yeah.
And Rosa Guerrero, of course. She is, in fact, a legend in her time.
Oh, absolutely, and we love her. All right, back next week. Mario, thank you for being with us this week. We're going to come back next week, are we not?
Yes, we will.
And we're going to do more El Paso history. And tell a friend or two how to find us, because I think that helps understand El Paso history as far as we can get it out
there. Yeah, we've had a lot of good friends doing that through Facebook. We appreciate it.
So continue
it on. Let's bring more people in.
Our thanks to Andrew J. Polk in the control room.
Andrew.
He's the man Monday through Friday on Talk El Paso, and he's the one that takes the political heat.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. See y'all next week. Thank you for joining us. Mario, good to see you on the radio.
Take care.
So much. Thanks a lot.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.